You are listening to Building with Build Her, where we talk about all things building, whether it be building or renovating your dream home or developing for profit. We believe that building done the right way is fun. I'm Rebecca from Build Her Collective. Join us as we explore all aspects of this journey. Hello, lovely Build Hers. Today we have Joe Snell from Studio Snell. So he is a writer, he's an architect, he's been on many TV shows, and I guess he's an educator. From my point of view, he's an educator and helping to change design in Australia. And we also have Christian Hansen, and he is from James Hardy. So he's a product manager. And in his way, he's trying to do the same thing. So the three of us have kind of come together to talk about the shape of design and architecture and product use in Australia, and the way we can kind of educate ourselves to build better homes and to create spaces that are more livable and, I guess, create a better environment for everyone to be. So welcome.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Rebecca.
So I guess start with Joe. I know I gave you a kind of broad brushstroke intro, but what is it about helping people design their own homes that you feel, well, compelled to do?
At the end of the day, my philosophy is that design can solve everything. So if our home is well designed and, you know, the kids and the family, mum and dad and whoever's in that home are enjoying a good and well-designed space, then they're going to have a better day. And that will also alter their perspective of how they see the world. If you get your home right, then you go out with a positive frame of mind and you go out into the world and into your community, and it will flow that if you get the home right in terms of design, it goes all the way. My realization was as an architect, and I realized it early while I was at university. My father's an architect, so I've grown up in architecture my whole life. I then went and studied architecture in Sydney University and also over in Copenhagen in Denmark, and looked at the whole system and realised that at the end of the day, when I get to go and design some houses for people, they're going to be people who can afford someone like myself as an architect. And generally speaking, you have to be doing pretty well to afford an architect. I came to the conclusion at that time that a contribution I wanted to make was not only to the houses that I was lucky enough to design for my patrons, for my clients, but also contribute to Australia having a better base of home, a better designed home. And I think that there's no reason why Australia can't lead the world in homes. But unfortunately, in terms of our high volume homes, like the project homes and those kind of homes, we just don't. And I know that for a fact, because when I was over in Denmark studying, which, by the way, changed my life because I met my wife, Laura, there. So that's another story. But I've been to Denmark a lot, and also Holland and those kind of places. And their basic core homes, their project home or high volume home, are very, very well designed. For example, they know where the sun is. They use good materiality. In contrast, a lot of Australian homes are just plonked on sites. And even though we have beautiful sun, those houses don't even know where the sun is. So, you know, these people are living in these houses, and in their living rooms, they're in the dark. And it's just simple factors that make that happen, and we can change it very easily. So that's a bit of a long answer to your question, but that's what's driven me to really get involved in the public discourse around getting, you know, everyday Aussies to understand more about what makes a good home and drive it.
I do have a kind of theory on this. I'm like, European cities seem to get sustainability and performance of their homes so much better, but I think it's because their climates are so much more harsh. So in Australia, we've had this really almost easy climate to work with because we don't have those intense snows and colds that, you know, you have to protect against. And like the summer's hot, but we can deal with it. So it's just led to almost lazy design through, in my opinion, lazy design through just being able to get by, it's not that bad that it has to be fixed. But I think now we're starting to see the impacts and the ramifications for that. And we're starting to see a movement of people that care more about sustainability and changing the environment and making sure that, you know, homes perform the way they should as well. So when you met Christian on site, you were telling me before you met on site and you got talking, and a lot of your interests were aligned. Is that right, Christian?
Yeah, absolutely. The real unsophisticated way about going about things would be that we used to just be building products sold to builders. And there's been a real transformation in the last 8 years that I've been with James Hardy to the fact that homeowners have never, ever been in such a strong position to make decisions. And one of the things we talk about today with homeowners when they're trying to make design decisions is, how do you want to make your house feel? How do you want it to make your family feel? And the only person that can really answer that is the homeowner. So really, they're in the box seat to be the expert on the build to achieve these things. And building products used to be described in terms of how hard they are to nail and install. But nowadays, we're talking a lot more towards aesthetics. And James Hardy, for example, has got a really popular weatherboard called Linear. We're really seeing that it's not just about selling that product, it's closely related to the Hampton style. And I went up to Queensland to do a presentation on the Hampton style to a bunch of homeowners at a build and design centre, and I was expecting kind of to bore their socks off. But, you know, they were really engaged because information is so accessible now on platforms like Instagram and Pinterest. And they all bailed me up after the presentation and said, what do you call this? And, oh, that's called an eaves return that, you know, comes down on the side of the gable and then hooks in. And, you know, how much do I need to build a Hampton's house? Builders are all telling me I need $1 million+. They stuck around for about 90 minutes. I couldn't believe it. And that kind of prompted us to dive a bit further and help people find out all the information they needed to build the house beyond the cladding, how to get that aesthetic. But then it also started pushing into the purpose of the house. And Joe has a great understanding of purpose. And it kind of made sense to marry the aesthetics and look at Australian houses and, you know, how lazy the designs are. And as Joe says, we could have the best houses in the world. We've got the climate for it. So how does this concept of frame building that we do in Australia and lightweight design facilitate much more livable houses? And we've been working together on that for a few years. You know, we do a lot of insights and research as well, and we discovered the power in the Hampton style, but then we also discovered the power in that homeowners want modern homes and modern looks, sort of to what Joe was saying. No one really wants to live in an old house, something that's dark with small windows and that's not as comfortable. I think my mother-in-law says she's never been so cold since she moved to Australia, and she came from the middle of Europe. She's from the Czech Republic. They know it's going to be cold there, and they have proper heating. And in Australia, I mean, half the houses around probably are uninsulated.
In that part of the world, if you don't get the shelter right, you die. And you're right, Rebecca. Like, I think the fact that we've got such a naturally good climate means that we have been lazy. But it drives me crazy, because you would have thought that another way of viewing it is, we've already got the basis for this amazing climate. We should be able to leap from that opportunity, that advantage, and go even higher. And that's what we've got to get Australians to do. And, you know, Australians are very good. You know, we're very educated. You know, once we understand something, we go for it. We outdo everybody else. We just need to get that attitude going in terms of our homes. And that's why I've really enjoyed finding out about what you've been doing, Rebecca, and your promotion of good design and getting it right and in the hands of everyday people.
We're so invested in our homes. We're so invested in this space that we live in, and we really do want to make it better. And I'd say in the last 10 years, there's so much more information and we want to get it right. And the design styles have come so far, but so has maybe disposability in design, or being able to see into these great architects' homes that have been designed so beautifully. And then everyone wants to achieve that, and some people need to lead that themselves. So they go out and they will research and try and understand what products are going to be best or how to get the right home. And the Hamptons is great because it's got a specific style and almost a set of rules that you can follow. But when you look at modern design and modern facades, that can be so much harder because you really have a blank canvas. And how do you start with that? How do you start choosing materials and form and orientation and all of those things for the average homeowner?
We saw a report that said just slightly over 50% of builders and building designers surveyed, I think there was about 250, they all claimed they were doing modern and designer homes, which was a good wake-up call for us because immediately we wanted to unpick that. And we've been on a bit of a quest to find out what modern is. It's quite hard to articulate. And I think where we're sort of arriving at now, it more means newness. I mean, there can be some confusion with architects when you say modern. They all of a sudden think you want a mid-century modern house because Australia did mid-century modern so well. But what they really mean, homeowners, is they want a contemporary house. They want something a bit futuristic, a bit new. And I know Joe, you'll say, well, that's the opposite to being nostalgic. But I think what we've learned is because there's nothing to hang on to when you want a modern house, there's not many reference points because we're, you know, trying to gaze into the future, that people are sort of picking something nostalgic and wanting to do the modern version of a farmhouse, or they're wanting to do the modern version of a Hamptons house, for example, or, you know, perhaps redo the California bungalow or the modern Queenslander or something like that. So I think there's modern feels like nostalgic elements that are familiar, modernised.
Mm. Yeah, I've got a theory where there's two types of design. One type is modern and the other type is nostalgia. And if you can understand that, then you're a long way ahead. So Christian's right, you know, we're all standing on the shoulders of the past. You know, we all know. So even though when I design a very modern house, it's still resting on the technology and the history of design. But what I think you have to do, whether, you know, you're an architect like me and educated in it, or whether you're, you know, someone who owns a home and wants to do something with it, is you just have to really look deeply within yourself and tell a story with your house. So all I'm doing every day is I meet clients and I ask, we sit down, we talk for an hour, 2 hours, and we find out through a discourse of what really makes them tick, how do they really want to live, and what do they like. And then instead of going around and saying, oh, I want this style or that style, I think people should have the confidence to look at what their lifestyle is. So not pick a style, but find out, really think about what is your lifestyle? How do you want to live? And if you can sort that out, everything else flows. So if you are outdoors people, for example, and you're constantly entertaining outdoors, well, it would be really crazy if you didn't have an awesome outdoor entertaining area. And then if you live in a coastal environment, well, that sort of means that maybe it's outdoors and then you start going towards a modern coastal look, like ta-da. You know, I've never understood why people would go and get, you know, a Bali theme to, say, the southern highlands of New South Wales where it's absolutely freezing in winter. And that Bali theme is about deep shade to shield yourself from the humidity and the heat of the tropics. And, of course, if you go and create deep shade in the southern highlands of New South Wales, you are going to freeze to death, you know. And so that's just a way of describing, you know, that all the styles that we talk about and all the design that comes from the past has evolved from place. And so what I would say is that if you are thinking about what sort of house you'd like, whether it's from your interior to your outside to your external facade, is it should represent who you are and where you're going in your life. And I've had other clients who are not outdoors people and it's all about creating a cocoon, and therefore their facade should be a lot more minimalist and a bit more like, you know, self-inward looking and not have to be all beachy when they don't feel beachy every day. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, you just got to get to the roots of things and then it's much more obvious what to do. And that's why I love what we've been doing with James Hardy, because modern is it's a broad church. To help people get into it, we've divided it into 5 distinct looks. That means that you can start to look at who you are and which one of these looks in modern suits you best.
Yeah, so together you've developed 5 distinct looks. And so for people who want to go look at those, you can find them on the James Hardy website. Is there a particular link?
You just have to look for the modern lookbook, we call it, the Hardy Modern Lookbook, and you should be able to find a download because it's an ebook.
Yeah, perfect.
And I put those together, and I put one together for Hamptons as well. And funnily enough, that example I gave before about the homeowners basically accosted me after my Hamptons presentation was I wanted to just make it really simple for homeowners to understand. And because the Hamptons is a decorative style, I wanted to give them like an artist palette of all the sorts of things you could add to your house in order to decorate it. But that's, like I said, a decorative style. It's quite fussy. You know, there's all those little planter boxes and gables and gable vents and balustrades. I could rattle on and that would pretty much be the end of the podcast. But modern is a completely different proposition. It all has elements of minimalism and it all feels pared back. You have to make fewer decisions, but they have to be really good ones.
So much harder to do minimal spaces though. It's harder to build, it's harder to design, I think. Because in the kind of the detailing you can disguise a lot of things, but when you do minimalist and you do kind of bolder statements with the design, I think that has to be right. It has to read right. I think what I found interesting is that we always say a home should be a reflection of you. So I should be able to see you in your home if it's cohesive. So if you're an outgoing, you know, person or you're a very colourful person, I kind of expect that to be reflected through your house and your space and the way you live. And being able to design and select and kind of get that cohesiveness is, I think, it's really important. A starting point, again, is really hard.
We've tried to make it easier for people to understand modern looks by essentially bundling a whole lot of the different styles and also looking overseas to certain styles and taking a similar approach and trying to define them, but we're calling them looks, so they're not really pure architectural styles. They're sort of themes, and quite often they cross over with interior styles. So we've got, as Joe mentioned before, modern coastal. So that's a little bit like Hamptons, but it's not decorative. So instead of like Hamptons, you'd have the linear weatherboard, but you'd have it in a neutral colour so it contrasts the trims. But with modern coastal, you don't want that contrast. So you might do trims and window frames white, the same colour as the cladding, just to sort of pare back the amount of detail. And you'd basically, white weatherboard looks brilliant, so it's reminiscent of the, you know, the beach shacks of the past. We're not particular about type of roof, but just it's more about probably a bold form in those distinctive linear weatherboards. It can be a box shape, it can be a skillion roof, or it can be a gabled roof, doesn't really matter. Then if we were to move inland a little bit, maybe even the Southern Highlands would be perfect for what we're calling the Scandi barn look. So there's a modern farmhouse look, but it's not like a decorative farmhouse. It's quite pared back and simple. And I think Joe points out that it's almost a child could draw it because it's a really diagrammatic, simple shape where you've got that individual volume of the barn. There might be other elements of the house, but they quite often look a bit more disconnected. So this is about having quite a steeply pitched gable roof, no eaves or minimal eaves, and you'll start to see this style. Even it's probably the most on-trend style we see, and we're even seeing the volume builders adopt it as a facade style now. And what that can be really nice with is your gable end windows that are really high up, they let in lots of light, and people read this style from the street and they really like it, because what homeowners really want in a modern house, they want to know that it's spacious and they want to know that it's light and bright. And you can actually read from the street when you see a high pitch roofs and you see those high windows up in the gable, it says this house has got a vaulted ceiling. This house is going to be light, bright and spacious. So when you do the suburb walk, they can read what the house is likely to be to live in.
I reckon there's something else going on there, Christian, and that is that because of the, you know, the absolute trend of working from home now, I think people are looking for homes that look a bit, because people work from home, they're now conducting meetings at home. It's a place of industry, not only just home. There's something about the Scandi barn concept, which I think has got that industrious aspect to it. You know, it's, a barn is not a place where you relax, it's a place where you work. That's how it evolved in Scandinavia. And so I think that quite crisp, diagrammatic shape of the triangle just looks like it's a little bit more about work and a bit more industrious. And I think people are realizing, hey, you know, that Hamptons look or the beachy look is not quite fitting my lifestyle that I'm picturing in this home. Yes, I'm going to have a luxurious sanctuary aspect to it, but I'm also going to be working here a lot of my week. And that's my point, is that you should look deep into what you're going to be doing, how you're going to live in this place. And then if that involves home, lifestyle, and also work, you might find yourself leaning towards a crisper aesthetic. And that's where I think the Scandi Barn is coming in. And I don't think a lot of people have conflated those two things, but I reckon that's what's happening. It's got a crisp, industrious look. It looks good. And it's a bit of life and work all in one.
I think the last few years have changed the way our world is always going to be now. We do need to combine a lot more of the work and the life, and, you know, particularly people that would have spent money overseas now have money that they're looking to invest in their homes and really make those spaces work for them. So, you know, whether it's refurbishments or modern extensions and tying them through, I think there's a lot, I'm seeing a massive increase in building, and I know that's being felt across the board, because our spaces have to give so much more. I guess if you had to kind of come back to saying, okay, well, looking at kind of trends into 2022 and kind of moving forward, you know, for each of you, what are kind of three things that you're seeing that people should be aware of that's important or that they should embrace into the horizon as it looks now?
We're going through a, you know, technological revolution. Even before the pandemic, the technology was allowing us to work from home. The move to the regions had already begun before the pandemic. I mean, I myself did it. I moved from Sydney to the Gold Coast, but still maintain a Sydney office and a Gold Coast office. That was driven by a realization that the technology allowed me to do that. And then the pandemic occurred and forced a huge amount of Australians home. And guess what? As you just said, Rebecca, a lot of them aren't going to go back in the same way to normal work life. And our homes are now reflecting that. So the study nook, I think, is dead, because it just doesn't cater for someone who's spending more than, you know, a couple of hours a week at that spot. I'm doing a lot of houses where a room has to cater for not one but two people working from home. A nook doesn't cut it. And then, you know, the way that I'm designing these spaces is if you're going to start to accept couriers as part of your work life coming to your home or have meetings, then you don't really want to have your study at the back of the house, so that when that customer or client turns up and you bring them through the house and they see Dad there on with his underpants on, you put these studies or offices at the front of the property so that you can have a street presence without walking right through the privacy of your home. And further to that, you know, I'm designing a house at the moment where it's about the option for the future, because it's also becoming a resale factor. So I've got a room that I'm designing, which I've literally labeled for the client, study/office/gym/bedroom, because I reckon in the course of their life over the next period, that room will have all those different roles at different times. Not only do they need that for their lifestyle, but when they go to sell this house, that buyer is looking for that flexibility, and so is the agent. And so I reckon that's been a massive change.
Could I add another part to that?
Yes, please.
You're the qualified designer in the room, though. Just caveat that. Quarantine room. So if that room's got an ensuite and access to outdoors, maybe it's a private courtyard, sort of, yep, you know, floor-to-ceiling window. So it means if someone you don't want the rest of the house to catch a virus, then, you know, you can bring them their meals and things like that, but they don't have to share a common toilet, and they're not in jail in a single room because they've got that outdoor access, so they can get fresh air, which is really important. And, you know, from all those poor people who are locked up in hotel quarantine for 2 weeks, we just know they crave fresh air.
Yeah,
which
will not sell.
Yeah, which will segue me nice onto my number one thing that I've seen in the last couple of years is people wanting that connection to nature and outdoors. So, I mean, there's definitely been a sea change and a tree change. A lot of people moving out of the city if they can get away with working from home, because they get to live on larger properties, properties on the beach. I know I was sort of chasing down a particular home we wanted to feature in our social media and blogs and things like that up on the Gold Coast. I rang up the real estate agent when I found out it was for sale. And she had one of the first things she said to me, "You're not from Melbourne, are you?" I said, "No, what are you talking about?" She said, "Oh man, I'm just getting so many calls from people in Melbourne because they're in lockdown. They want to escape it so badly. They're just ringing up the real estate agents on the Gold Coast and just wanting to buy anything without even visiting it. They just want to get out of lockdown, even if they're making irrational decisions."
Mm.
So if you can get out and exercise and the beach is just down the road, that feels a lot better than being stuck in an inner city area. I think when people do their renovations now, it's large, undercover, outdoor areas, which we touched on before. So you might have a lounge outside, you might have a ceiling fan above you, and you know, it connects very much with the indoors sort of seamlessly, those large stacking doors. Mm. You know, you might see the cladding wrapping around, you know, the vertical joint, so the axon cladding wrapping around from the outside of the extension, continuing on the same wall and continuing inside to blur that.
I think that also ties into having more than one living space or shared living space. If you can afford it, a house is so much better if you can be all together in one space, but then if...
But not all the time, you'll go mad.
Yeah, and I think, you know, so you need that secondary living space. And so I can't stand the idea of that secondary living space being identical to the first space. So I always try and give some character to that secondary living space. And going on from what you're saying, Christian, you know, like, for example, I did a house recently and we had the main open plan living, kitchen, living, dining, the standard thing. But then we had the opportunity to have another living space and we called that the garden room. We called it the garden room because it had a different aspect to the rest of the other living space. It opened out onto, guess what, a garden. But then the deck that accessed, that was the threshold between the interior and the exterior to the garden, what we actually did was brought that decking material into the house. And just like what Christian was talking about, we actually brought some of the external cladding in from the external into the house. I've actually done that before many years ago. I actually used linear. I had linear on the outside and I had this idea of doing a powder room. Instead of just putting the powder room in, I did a modern outdoor dunny, which was actually indoor, but I played with the outdoor aspect by bringing the external cladding into the house. And then we did a secret door in the cladding. And then that was like the outdoor indoor dunny. There you go. Now, how Australian is that?
Very Australian.
So you can have a bit of fun with it.
Well, it kind of gives you the cohesiveness with the outside and the inside as well, because I think, you know, I had a client once that they wanted kind of that neoclassical external and then a modern inside, and I was like, well, I'm really struggling with, I couldn't help them, because I was like, there was no, the relationship, if I come to this house and it feels a certain way and then I open the door and it feels completely different, it just doesn't read well. It's not going to feel well. And I think kind of sometimes when you use the materials and you pull them through and you play with them, you get this nice feeling of, I understand what's happening here. I'm being drawn through the process. And for us, we always talk about the way people feel in a home is really important, and the way they connect and the way they transition through a home. You know, whilst they look great in photos and it's great to see beautiful homes, it's actually about the way we experience them and the way we feel when we're inside them and the journey we have inside. So I love those ideas because they kind of speak to that as well. I don't know about quarantine room, but certainly guest bedroom. I think we're seeing a lot from our perspective. A lot of houses are needing to function in many different ways. And so that flexibility is really important. And I'd agree that kind of home office, you know, I don't think we used to have that. No one was using it. It was kind of just became a dumping ground. Whereas now that home office has become super, super important. And I don't think that's going away. I think everyone is a little bit burnt and they're thinking really clearly and cleverly about how they're going to orientate the house and what that journey is for people who come to a house. You know, for us, we used to always put the, you know, especially if you've only got, it's fine if you've got double fronted, you've got, you know, lots of space to play with, but it used to always be the master suite would go at the front because they wanted to be next to by the entrance. We're always like, man, it's that protective element. We want to be at the front door. The kids are behind or upstairs and we can protect them. But now it's kind of like we want to keep the outside away and have that kind of separation of space and then have our own privacy.
Yeah, further to that, like say you had a view to the sea or something like that. You'd put the living area on the ground floor facing the view, and directly above it, the view from upstairs, you'd give it to the master suite. Well, I'm seeing a real battle starting to happen in houses where traditionally you'd put the master suite there, but people are starting to say, well, why would I give the best view of the house to a place where I sleep? And so the office is actually starting to move into that place that harnesses that view, because if you're going to spend 3 days a week at home, why would you be in some dud spot when you could have sea views from your office? I think that's evolving. It's still quite fresh. It's really fascinating. The other thing I'd say as well, it's a bit of a cost thing, but I think Le Corbusier was the famous French architect, and he called houses or buildings, he calls them machines for living. And what he was on about was that, you know, these things are not finite. And I must say, I don't ever see a house as finite. I see it as something that will change over time. So, you know, whenever I design a house, I sort of have another view of it, how it might evolve in the future and change by moving a few walls or changing the materiality or whatever it is, or the use of the room. So that's more of a modern way of thinking. People are much more understanding of the flexibility that a building is not set in stone. And that's the beauty of these kind of products like James Hardie, is that, you know, you can completely change the way a room feels by using some Axon on some walls and change it from a quiet room into a more industrious room. So I think the pandemic, despite it being a tragedy on many levels, has been an absolute boon for, you know, the future of homes in this country.
It makes sense. We've all had to live in our houses and experience our houses so much, we've become the biggest critics of them. And Rebecca, as you said, not spending money on travel, maybe not spending so much on restaurants, probably lots of Uber Eats, but it's given people the inclination as well as the spare cash to improve their houses. And there's a concept of the mullet house, where if you're constrained at the front with a heritage, for example, there's a great house in Dromoyne and it was over 100 years old and they had to maintain the sort of, you know, brick cottagey look, but the real estate prices are quite high and they had quite a large backyard. They really wanted a modern house. So they built in that sort of box modern style, did this large upper level, you know, cantilevered over the alfresco area for a bit of protection. They brought the pool right up to the house to create their own water views. But in terms of, Rebecca, you said when you walk in the front door, it could be a bit of a shock if the house looks completely different to what you'd expected from the front. They were hell-bent on modernising it, but when they pulled off one of the cornices in one of the front rooms, they found a note from the original builders. And they said, "Hi, whoever finds this," and they listed their names. And there were plasterers and there were builders. "Whoever finds this, remember us, 1901. And that's a real sort of goosebump thing to find. And so what the homeowners decided to do is they decided to keep the facade absolutely true to the original builders. Then they pulled the colour palette through to the back. They used, I think, the Sydney sandstone that was built on and made a feature wall. They had all the original fittings in the front of the house restored, but done in sort of a black, I don't know, brassy sort of black finish, don't know what it is. But then they matched that with the newer part of the house with black powder coat, and they continued the paint colours through. So even though the back was a total contrast and looked like a different house, you felt the transformation as you went in from one end to the other, and they weren't living in this old house with, you know, darkness and the small windows. They were living in this beautiful modern house with all floor-to-ceiling windows, and it was really the party out the back house. It was like business, conformed with the street out the front, but
now I get why it's mullet.
Yeah, business at the front.
I was going to ask, where's the mullet
coming? It came eventually. There's so much more to cover, and especially when we talk about topics like modern houses and building, I think it's like hours and hours of topics we could go through. But thanks for joining us today. And if you want to check out more, so Joe's got a book, you can check it out. It's Your Best Home, and it goes through five spaces and find 5 design tips for a better life, which is pretty awesome. And also that modern lookbook, check that out on the James Hardy website. And it's got great guides and fantastic web resources that kind of help you go through that kind of step-by-step process. Because I think as end users now, we need to educate ourselves to ask for what we want and get a clearer vision of how our home needs to feel for us, because we're the ones who are going to live with it and we're the ones who are going to be experiencing it. So the more we know and the more direction we can get, still getting, you know, the right professionals and the design teams in, the better, because you just end up with something that feels right for you. So thanks guys for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca.